Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience, maybe?
Yeah!
Oh, well, that boisterous and rowdy live studio audience is a little bit symbolic of what has been going through the Garfinkel family over here. Yes, flu B, strain B, I don't know, whatever it is. Yes, it was quite the Shabbos, one for the ages, with multiple men down. Okay, babies, teenagers, and everyone in between, adults, etc. We are, I think, on the mend. But yeah, this was with the flu shot, people. All right, Baruch Hashem, we are very grateful for sickness and for recovery, to appreciate all the days where we wake up and everything is great. And that is such a Jewish attitude, that really there is no bad. There's difficult, there's challenging, but there really is no bad. It's all for our good. It all is good. It's a challenge. It's to make us tougher. It's to make us more sensitive when we encounter other people who are dealing with sicknesses. And in the global scheme of things, we'll take the flu as opposed to other things. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. All right, so that was a little bit about our weekend. I will rewind a little bit more for actually positive, amazing news, is that we had an Olami 613 Purim for the ages. Now, again, this was on a Tuesday. We usually call it around, you know, a little later, but what can I say? It was before daylight savings, which rocked everyone's world last night, which means that the meal had to be started before 5:43 p.m. on Tuesday, which is sundown. And guess what? We had about 40 young professionals come to the West Rogers Park and left work a little bit early and made it happen. And it was crazy. It was unbelievable. I was sitting with a couple of our young professionals. It was Jaden and Lucas, and I don't know if they listened to this podcast, but I'll give them a shout out. And as the singing was happening and as the party was crazy, and I turned to them, I said, how would you explain this to people? If you're me and you're before Purim and you're trying to tell them how awesome this event is, people in costumes and joy and eating and drinking and celebrating Jewish survival, Hashem being there for us for thousands of years then and now. The joy was indescribable. And I said, how would you describe it? Like, Rabbi, you can't describe it. You just have to be here. And so I was so, I felt really validated that I put in so much effort to recruit people to come, because I knew that once they would come, they would love it. And thank God they did. It was just an incredible, incredible Purim. And there was a lot to celebrate. There was a lot to celebrate, and we touched on it last podcast. And I don't want to repeat what we did. I want to talk about a few different things and then going forward. And I want this podcast to be positive, although there are a few things I do want to call out, just not in a negative way, but just so that we understand our world. I don't know how people without Torah like navigate. Who is the basis of what you believe? What is the basis of what we base our opinions on? You know, I believe I said this a week or two ago, that without Torah, how do we view events? How do we view, everyone talks about, you know, what's happening in the war? How do we process it? What is the proper response? And so as we were sitting there at this meal celebrating the victory of over an evil despot who wanted to wipe us out from Persia almost just shy of 2400 years ago, and we had literally just had the beginning of this, called a war, I don't know, I guess you can call it a war, this conflict, this mission against a modern day despot from Iran who wants to wipe us out. Who wants to wipe us out? You know, so it's you can't make up the script. If you would write this, no one would believe you. And we were singing and dancing, and it was absolutely incredible. And as we go forward, I want to double down on one of the messages I said last week, that we still need to pray. Folks, there are people, many of them, who are still in and out of bomb shelters in Israel. And it's very hard to plug into that. It's hard to plug into that. We go about our... It's not even a week. It's not even a week. Was it a week? It's a little bit more than a week since this conflict started. Okay? And we're already back to our normal thing. We're checking the news. And we have to realize that we need to pray. We need to do mitzvahs. We need to kick it up. There is no Iran. There is no Ayatollah. Well, actually, there is no Ayatollah. I think they just appointed a son. We believe that everything, every challenge and every difficulty comes from the Almighty. And he has different methods of delivering bitter and difficult messages. And he has ways of delivering sweet and wonderful messages. But the moment that we forget that the Almighty is the CEO of the universe, making everything happen, the grand picture in the stadium of life, throwing us curveballs, it's our job to react and to react positively. And that's why it's on us, folks. We have to kick it up. We have to pray. Many people who listen to this podcast don't pray regularly. Okay? So how about this? How about when you're in your car or when you're in Uber, you take 30 seconds and pray. Pray for the safety. Almighty, here's the prayer. Almighty Hashem, God, please protect our Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel. Please protect the Jews and the non-Jews, quite frankly, of the Israeli Defense Forces. And please protect the American forces and all of the allies who are working to wipe out a modern-day Hitlerian regime. That's it, folks. That's amazing. If we could take that away from this podcast and this past Purim that just passed us by, but we're taking it with us, then that would be an extremely successful Purim. Just to pivot a little bit to share with you how amazing the Jewish people are, I want to share with you something that a good friend of mine, Rabbi David Began, who is a wonderful person who made Aliyah several years ago, which means he moved to Israel, and he has really great stuff out there, a great podcast and a Substack. And he wrote the following. It was just unbelievable. And I had thought this before, but the way he wrote it was so powerful. You know, if you imagine the way he puts it, you know, there's Israelis on a beach in Thailand, okay, right? And there's Israelis, there's Russians and Ukrainians who are both fleeing from their respective wars. And when you think about an emergency airlift, a rescue flight from a war, what direction is the flight going? The flight is leaving the war zone. But only the Jewish people have rescue flights for Israelis wanting to get back to Israel during the war. It's unheard of. We're the only nation in the world. We're the only people in the world. Meshuggah, like, get me back to my homeland so I can go and sit in bomb shelters. It is an absolutely unbelievable facet of the Jewish people. And he brought it out so poignantly that these Israelis, they're out. They left the beach as soon as the Russian and Ukrainian were there. They left the war. But the Jewish neshama, the Jewish soul, yearns to be back. Because great things are happening in Israel right now. Great and mighty and unbelievable, miraculous things are happening in Israel. And we just, quote unquote, want to be with our people. I thought that was such a beautiful idea that I wanted to share with you. And now I want to pivot once again and get to the title of our podcast, Missiles and Missing Never Again. So the mitzvahs we did, I wanted to point out the fact that we should be praying, we should be doing mitzvahs, even if we don't normally do things, we should do something. Really, 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 really. Make a decision right now at 10 minutes through this podcast. I'm going to do something. I'm going to put on tefillin. I'll do something for Shabbos. I'll turn off my phone this week for an hour on Friday night, for half an hour Friday night. Maybe I'll write someone a letter. Wow. Maybe I'll call someone and tell them I love them. Maybe I'll do something nice. Maybe I'll eat kosher food one lunch this week. Maybe who knows what mitzvahs we can do. If you need any suggestions, I'm very happy to give them to you. So that was the point about the missiles. But now I want to get to the missing never again. I want to tell you folks, we're at a really important crossroads in American Jewish history. And I think many, many Jews are missing the fork in the road. And I want to point it out, and I don't want to be too critical, but I think that if we miss this fork in the road, we may never come back. We may never be able to come back. And so what's the issue? The issue is that for 80 years, without exaggeration, before the Holocaust history could even be written, from 1945, when the war ended, through 2025, okay, call it 81 years, to 2026, and I will call it out for what it is, the non-Orthodox Jewish world, pedagogically, philosophically, rallied around the rally call, the rally cry of never again. That rally cry, never again, was the organizing principle of so much of Jewish education, be it Sunday school, be it Hebrew school, afternoon school, be it Jewish organizational work, be it the Holocaust museums, be it you name it. It was centered around the enormity of the Holocaust and the slogan, never again. Now, the slogan in of itself is, in my opinion, a terrible slogan, because never again means that you can control it. And there are certain things we could do to control it, but it's a very human-centric idea. It takes God totally out of the equation. And, okay, that's for a philosophical debate or podcast for another time. But when we say never again, that means that in whatever situation, evil, monomaniacally focused, despotically genocidal evil will come up, whenever it'll come up, we will galvanize all of our forces and we will get behind that force to eliminate the evil threat. We will galvanize behind whatever it takes. We will do whatever it takes. No stone unturned. No Monday morning quarterback is going to be needed, because like the Holocaust, oh, we should have done this, we should have done that, because for 80 years, we are hammering away at our youth that we are not going to let this happen again. No more Holocaust, no more genocide, no more bad guys. We're not going to take it sitting down anymore. We're not going to be sheep to the slaughter. And this was the organizing principle of much of non-Orthodox Jewish life in America for 80 years. And guess what happened this week? They missed it. They missed it. They missed it. They missed never again. They just missed it. There is a monomaniacal, genocidal despot in Iran, and a president who many American Jews don't like, and an Israeli prime minister that many American Jews don't like, bombed him to smithereens, and his Revolutionary Guard, and the missiles that they were planning on sending to Israel and to America, and the reaction to the blotting out, the fulfillment of never again, never again was fulfilled. The entire organizing principle for 80 years. And what was the reaction when all of this came to a crescendo? Silence, at best. No thank you. No, gee, I just, you know, I disagree with you on 99.9% of social issues and fill in the blank. But really, thank you so much for fulfilling never again. I'm so thankful to you, President and Prime Minister. And there's crickets, and there's crickets. And I've been scratching my head this whole week wondering, why are there crickets? Why can't you say thank you? Why is it that you cannot extricate yourself from your political biases and look at the world through a Jewish lens, through a Torah lens? And when someone wipes out the next Hitler, you say thank you. That's all. Is that hard? That's not complicated. But it's not complicated for someone who has a clear vision of what it means to be Jewish and a sense of Jewish history. And the moment that we tie ourselves to a political party more than to the Jewish people, it's our ruin. It will be our ruin. It has been our ruin countless times. When we get so sucked in to the cultural mores of the time, and we leave our Torah values, that not only will we see the world incorrectly, we will actually detach ourselves from being Jewish. The assimilation in the last 80 years has been staggering. And what has it done? It has led us to the fact that after 80 years, we can't even recognize never again. We can't even recall what it means. What we've taught our children, three generations have grown up on never again. And this week, most American Jews missed never again. The never again moment. They just simply missed it. They didn't say thank you. Where are the advertisements in the New York Times? If I had money, I would take out an ad in the New York Times saying, thank you, President Trump, for defending the free world and wiping out a despotic leader who is going to use nuclear weapons to destroy the entire world. That's what I would have written. I'm not sure I would have mentioned Israel because people would have said, oh, yeah, see, you know, the anti-Semites would have, you know, latched onto it. But just thank you. Why can't we say thank you? This, folks, this is going to be a defining issue because it comes down to a Jewish identity issue. If we can't figure this one out, then it means that in future issues, as they come up, we are going en masse to be deciding with an incorrect lens. And we already see signs of that. When a third of the Jews of New York City voted for a rabid anti-Semite who smiles really nicely and is, cool, calm, and collected, a real slick character, okay? But a rabid anti-Semite. And they voted for him because of his socialist policies, which were more important to assimilated Jews than their own Jewish people. Folks, we're at a crossroads right now. And I keep harping on these issues because it's going to come down to Jewish identity. If we're plugged in to our Jewish identity, to Jewish learning, to Torah sources, to Shabbos, to Tefillin, to Tzitzis, to Mezuzah, to Sukkah, to Passover, to Purim, and the list goes on and on. If we're plugged in to our Jewish roots, everything will be clear. We will have a clear path forward. We will know what to do and how to respond. But sadly, as the assimilation grabs more and more of the hearts and minds of our fellow Jews, there going to miss, God forbid, the never again moments that are coming. And sadly, they're coming fast and furious. So God willing, the people listening to this podcast, let's double down. Let us ourselves, change happens first with ourselves. When we nail it for ourselves and grow inside out, we have to fix ourselves first. That's how real change happens. So let's do one small thing this week. Let's do it. Something you maybe not normally do, Jewishly. Let's do it. Why? Because when we change ourselves, it will have a spiritual ripple effect on others. And God willing, we will not miss never again, ever again. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to connecting with you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.